This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Look, I even get music with it, Paul.
You did then as well.
I did. Now, have we got Toby on the line yet?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah? How are you, Toby? But more importantly, how's the dog?
The dog is extremely good. Banjo is in very, very good form. He has been getting a lot of dads.
Yes.
working from home this week in a trial of kind of remote working, and I was working from home one day last week, and I think you might have found this, Macca, too. What you find with greyhounds is their expectations and their standards of the amount of dad time they get go up and just remain at whatever level was highest at one point. So I'm actually concerned that, like, when we have to end...
Oh, I know. Yeah, like how are they going to cope?
I don't know what Banjo's going to do. Like, he... I got woken up by him this morning, which was lovely. So Banjo is doing well, I think. The humans around him are also good, but he doesn't know how to practice good social distancing.
No.
Like when we're going on walks, he keeps wanting to meet people, and yeah. I have to pull him back.
I know.
So,
Toby, one of the things I was hearing on other media outlets I mentioned this morning on Joy was that people are describing their pets and their kids as their co-workers and actually describing what they're doing whilst they're at home. So what has been the most disturbing thing your co-worker's done this morning?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's good to be able to talk about these things, you know, I think, to put them out in the open. Like, Banjo is listening right now, though he does appear to be asleep. Banjo has made a decision recently that he should be allowed to get up on our beds.
Yes.
We did not have a problem with until he began growling at us when we got on the beds as well. Not in an aggro way, but just in a, this is my bed now, Dad, and I'm sleeping. Why are you here? So we've had to stop him from getting on the bed. So a lot of my remote working consists of Banjo standing directly behind me when I'm at a standing desk because there's also a bed in the room.
Most disconcerting.
It was him waiting for me to clear the bed for him to get on. And the thing is, I'm never going to do that because the point of there being stuff on the bed is to stop, as you say, my co-worker from growling at me from the bed. So it's a new problem. I haven't had that problem with co-workers before, but you know what I mean? Like, we've all got to adapt in these difficult times.
Now, I don't know whether you saw it. We'll get it. This is sort of, I suppose, slightly politics. Yala Pulford, who's the Minister for Roads and a few other things, her family, they've recently adopted a greyhound, or incidentally named the same as mine, Patch. And there's a picture of Patch. So if you go to her Twitter, Toby, you'll see it. So there's a picture of their dog on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And I did message Yala and said, that's the last time you're going to sit on the couch. Like... Absolutely. Dog now owns it. But let's get to more serious matters.
Toby, what's your view on the current performances of our pollies?
Look, I think it's actually been a genuinely... I think Scott Morrison actually in the past few days has gotten better. It genuinely is hard to get, I think, responses to crises like this right. Like, as we've seen around the world, there have been really, really vastly different levels of quality in terms of the responsiveness of governments like China. They stuffed it up early, then have really gone very, very hard, but they have a completely different society. You'd have to say a lot of Europe probably hasn't handled it that well. Overall, I think right now there does seem to be quite a high degree of coordination amongst state and federal pollies. And look, to be honest, for all the protestations of people on social media about whether schools should be open or not. The chief medical officers, I think, are going to be looking at a whole lot of data. And there's some stuff that I think they're concerned about communicating to us, because it would be very alarming to people, you know, like about the overall, for example, casualty figures that Australia may well experience. So I think that early on, Scott Morrison probably didn't react quickly enough. You know, there was the football stuff where he was telling people gatherings under 500, but then he was going to the footy. Whereas now it looks like, and I think the federal government's first assistance package wasn't really enough at all. It was only $17.5 billion. But it's looking like the second will be much, much, much more substantial. So, look, overall, you have to say, like, in a difficult, very, very difficult time, I don't think they're doing badly, but that will kind of remain to be seen, you know? Like, the unusual thing about pandemics is you can judge very objectively the performance of a government based on, and this is a depressing thing to acknowledge, like the number of people who survive, you know?
And, you know, we've seen in Italy overnight 647 deaths.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, in one day. That shows the extent of the virus and the pressure that the healthcare system is under. Look, I think one of the challenges with this, Toby, is, you know, we've spoken with Sally Capp, we spoke with the Bankers Association, we're going to be speaking with Bill Botel. He's going to give us, I think, a different perspective on how perhaps the government has gone. What people want is leadership, don't they?
Okay,
the state government has announced, I think, $1.5 billion this morning, mostly related around... I think it's around seeing some costs, you know, some taxes and charges going back to business, and also some assistance, for employment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the same view as me that I don't care what this costs. They actually need to spend whatever it costs to protect us, because at the end of the day, yes, we'll all remember a deficit, but you know what? Mm-hmm. To remember it, we need to be alive.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, there needs to be a sense of stability, otherwise people are more likely, as in people who are running out of money, if they're concerned about that, they're less likely to observe the correct kind of isolation techniques or the level of hygiene that you need when the virus is spread quite widely throughout society. I think, as you say, this... It's challenging because I think what we're going to see after this virus, what we're seeing during it, is a reordering of conventional economic thinking. And you kind of saw this in the 60s and 70s, like when, you know, Keynesian economic thought eventually went out the window with stagflation and things like that. Basically, typically governments view stimulus as something where you roll out, say, 1-2% of GDP, you give out tax cuts. We may ultimately wind up needing to see packages, and these are being talked about in the United States, even Donald Trump, assistance packages in the form of basically universal basic income, payment to everyone, not tax cuts, you know, and payments that go up to 5 to 10 to 20% of GDP. Governments are going to have to rack up debt, which for a long time has been seen as a big no-no, but I think that's going to be necessary in order to, like you say, save the lives of... vulnerable people. And what we're learning more and more is that a whole range of people are vulnerable to this virus. Like, fit and healthy people can get very sick and can die of it. Like, typically it's people with complications or health conditions or older people. We're all going to be impacted by it. So, like you say, I think government needs to ensure we feel economically secure. And it does look like they appreciate that, I think, at both the state and federal level.
Now, I don't know whether you saw the Pope said he's asked God to stop the coronavirus epidemic. My question is, well, why did you start it?
This is always the classic problem with asking questions of God in these moments. Yeah, like when good things happen, it's thanks to God. When bad things happen, it's personal responsibility. Well, it's not really clear what the individuals who've been affected by this have done to deserve.
Yeah.
You're usually quite well informed. What sort of stuff is going on behind the scenes from some of your contacts up there in Canberra? Have you got any insights from some of your friends and colleagues?
I think there is an ongoing rolling conversation that is, I think it's probably fair to say at a federal level that early on people did not necessarily recognise, and to be fair, I think this happened across around the world, just how dangerous the virus was. Like the level of contagion, there are plans that exist that, you know, were formulated, I think, off the back of swine flu and bird flu. But Australia wasn't really hit by either of those. Interestingly, though, like swine flu had a much bigger impact, I think, than a lot of us realise. Like millions of people around the world died because of swine flu, but because it didn't really impact Australia, I don't think it quite registered in the media here. But I think that there are a number of pretty complex economic calculations going on because they are trying to work out as well how to, you know, ensure that Australia for a long time has had the, you know, some unique advantages in terms of its economic position. Who we supply, you know, commodities with, China, that's meant that we haven't had a recession in 28 years.
Yeah.
We are definitely going to have a recession. And that is going to be a really big shock to a lot of people. I know it's, as you were saying, Macca, the focus, I think, during an epidemic or a pandemic has to be on preserving lives. But most Australians don't know what it's like to live in a recession-era economy.
And I think, exactly, yeah.
I think some of what the government has been trying to do, in all fairness to them, is reduce, this is stuff relating to schools, with delays in shutting down some events, for example, is they have been trying to reduce the impact of that recession or the speed with which that sudden shutdown happens. Because people simply don't have the kind of economic planning in place for that kind of environment, if you like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, you know, I think Tom and I will probably be fine in that context, but our finances aren't designed for a 5-year recession.
Yeah.
And that could well be what this virus ultimately leads to. And so I think a lot of the conversations that are happening at a federal level and amongst, you know, all the different levels of government are both, firstly, how do we stop the spread of this virus? But secondly, how do we ensure that, because recessions, extended recessions and like a Great Depression-style recession, that does cost lives as well.
It does.
You know? And that's not being cynical, but, you know, that'll have a real impact.
We actually have to go, Toby, but I'm going to give you an employment tip. Anyone that perhaps needs a job, Alan Jones has been going through butlers pretty quickly. Perhaps there might be a new position coming up there.
Look, I think we could all agree it would be great for everyone if Alan self-isolated, including from the radio.
Yes, I agree.
Toby, thank you for joining us this morning. Always great to talk to you.
Great. Thanks so much. Cheers.
Cheers. Okay.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.